Well, good morning. An honor to be with you this morning, to be able to share what God has placed on my heart. But I do have to be a little honest. When Zach asked me to preach about a week ago, this was my initial response. So, what? So if you don't know what that's from, it's from Inside Out, a Disney Pixar movie, and that was the time when the junior high boy met the girl, and he was freaking out, but not doing much better than that picture right there, but excited to be here. And there's something actually you guys can do to help. I'm really used to working with junior high kids and things like that, so Micah, if you can just get up and just randomly start playing the piano, just start walking around the room, you know, I mean, I'll feel a little bit more at ease, a little more normal, I guess. And so what we're talking about is something that we've been talking about in varsity. And so if you've been at varsity, varsity leaders, varsity students, a lot of this is going to be a repeat to you. And so you have my permission if you want to just fall asleep. Not that you didn't need my permission, but as a teacher, there's lots of times where you look out at your class and they're like this and throw erasers. So I'm prepared. I've got erasers ready to throw. But as I was talking to Zach about it, he's like, I really want you to share that with the church. And I'm like, well, there's people who have heard it. And he's like, it doesn't matter. And I guess I can't argue with Zach because he's my boss. And so a lot of this, though, is come from things that I've been reading, things that I've been studying. These are definitely not my own thoughts. Some of them are. But it's been something that's been really a big part of my life and a big part of who I am and a big part of why I can even stand up here today. And it really fits into what Zach has been talking about with the vision of the church. What does success look like? Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And then also just what he's been starting with, how do we get healed in the midst of this broken, chaotic, at sometimes impossible world? What does this look like for us to be healed? And also, this is really a lot of kind of my feelings about what youth ministry looks like and the importance of it and how I approach it. And so there's lots of things that kind of come into what we want to share today. So let me pray first and then we'll get into it. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's truth. We thank you that we can build our lives on it. God, I know that you are the one who fills us up. You are the one who gives us hope, power, the ability to keep going. And so God, I just ask you right now for your spirit to be present, to fill me up as I speak. God, may you use me as your vessel. And we just love you and we just praise you in your son's name. Amen. As I was first starting with this, and it's a little different than what you have in the bulletin, just realizing that what I was going to try to talk about was just too much. And I have that tendency. I always over-talk things. And so we simplified it a little bit. So as I was talking with Zach, he said, well, you know what that means, don't you? That means you have to come back. And I was like, what? But we're in 1 Peter, and so I'll read this, and we'll talk about it. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8 is what we're going to focus on this morning. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, this stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they are destined for. So I just want to pull out three things from this morning. First, don't build your life on something you can lose. Second, commit to be built together. And then third, watch out for the lies. So let's start with, don't build on something you can lose. So Peter's talking here about the church. He's talking about us as stones. And God is the builder. God is the one who is putting things together. We are the pieces. And the very first thing, in order for me to be able to be a living stone, I have to come to him first. The way that I'm going to become living is that I need him to inhabit me. I need him to fill me up. And there's all through Scripture is a picture that before Christ, I'm dead. When Christ comes in, I'm alive. And one of my favorite verses is in Colossians 1:27. And it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only hope I have, the only hope that I can offer to people, the only thing that I can, the only way I can live this life well is I have to accept the fact that without Christ, I'm empty. So there's Christ in me is what enables me to live. And we've been talking in Varsity about this idea of core longings. All of us, when we are born, we have core longings, the longing to be significant, the longing to find value, the longing to be loved, the longing to know that I have purpose, the longing to know that I matter. And I think God has created those inside of us. And in the beginning, when we were connected with him, those longings were met. And at the fall, we started to look other places to find significance, to find meaning, to find love, to find value. And we've been looking at some stories, both in the Bible and also just in our world. And one of those stories came from Jacob, and this is in Genesis 29. And Jacob had kind of a rough story. He was second best. He lied to get the blessing. His family dynamic was not super healthy. And so Jacob's life was kind of a mess. And we come to Genesis 29:11, and I just love this verse because it says, so Jacob is traveling, and he sees Rachel. He sees Rachel at the well, and this is what it says. Jacob, after seeing her, went up to her and said, then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted his voice and wept. Now, I don't know about you girls, but if a guy did that to you, it might be a little overwhelming. But we talked about that Jacob, he thought, with all the mess of my life, oh, there's Rachel. Rachel's going to be the one to save me. Rachel's going to be the one that I can... Oh, my life's a mess, but, oh, Rachel. And then we looked at, like, Lamar Odom, and we looked at all these people that... Lamar Odom's a basketball player whose life fell apart drastically and was all over the news. And we looked at all these people, and what it is that we have these longings, and we know there's something missing, and so we start to look for things to be the thing that will fill us up. And so we start to build a life. And we start to build the life based on what we value. So one of the very first things that we see here with this cornerstone, this idea of the cornerstone, is that all of us are building. We are building on something. If I'm not building on Christ, I'm building on something. I could be building on my career. I could be building on my hair, which is falling out. It's very painful if I'm building my life on my style of my hair. We build our life on our career. We build our life on so many different things. Martin Luther said that the way you know what your cornerstone is when the chips are down, what do you look to for your vindication? When things aren't going well, what do you look to? Someone I've just been recently listening to, Terry Wardle, he talks about, when he's talking about this, he says, what do you use to show that you have a place at the table? What do you look to prove that you have a place at the table? And so if I start building my life on some of these things that can be lost, I can lose my friends, I can lose my job, I can lose these things. And if my identity and my faith is built on that, and that's what my cornerstone is, and if everything's going well, and my building is there, and everything is there, but if something happens and I lose that, my cornerstone is gone. My life falls. And so don't build on something you can lose. The way we do this, the way we build on Christ, it says here, one of the very first things to do is to find him precious. Do you find Jesus precious? Timothy Keller used this story. He said, imagine that you are sick and you have 2 weeks to live. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I have medicine for you. that will completely heal you. But the doctor says it's expensive, really expensive. You may have to sell your car. You may have to move out of your house and live in an apartment. You're like, well, that doesn't matter. I need the medicine. Give it to me. That medicine is precious to me because if I don't have it, I'm going to die. When I line myself up with Jesus, when I come to him as the cornerstone, I understand that is precious. And then what's also true about the cornerstone is that I have to line up to it. In the Bible times, when they built off of a cornerstone, they would take the stone, they would put it, and then they would have to align off of it. Whatever shape the cornerstone was, I have to be shaped to fit into it. I have to change. I have to be aligned. And so for Christ to be my cornerstone, I have to line up with him. I have to be transformed. I have to be changed. Now, that might seem like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to change. But guys, the reality of it is, whatever your cornerstone is, if your cornerstone is friends, we change to fit what they say is important. You can think about peer pressure and think about all the stupid things that people do, all just to be accepted. If my job is my cornerstone, if my career is my cornerstone, I work hours and hours and hours and hours. I align myself to that because I find my identity there. And so it's not just that Jesus is asking for us to align to himself. We do that anyway. It doesn't matter what the cornerstone is. So as you think about that, as you think about for yourself, what are you building on? That's the first question. That's the first thought. Don't build on something you can lose. So the second piece of this then, when I've come to him as a stone, as a living stone now, because Christ is inside of me, there's this piece now that we as the church, we commit to be built together. You, the living bricks, are being built into a spiritual house. And as that house, that temple is built, God's glory, God's Shekinah, I said Shania the other night, God's Shekinah glory, his presence, it comes and dwells there. It comes and dwells in that living building. It's not about the individuals, it's about the collective of the group. And it kind of goes back to the Old Testament times, the picture of the tabernacle. That's where God's presence was. And as we, as living stones, as we, as people who have built their lives on the cornerstone of Christ, as we start to come together, we start to form the tabernacle, the temple, the place where God dwells. So here's kind of this picture, okay? That this is a present tense. He is in the process of building. And so here's this brick right here. And the brick is supporting these bricks on top of it. If I was to take this brick out, which I can't really with Legos, but if I was to take this brick out, it would weaken the wall. Now, the question is, are you being built into a community that well? Are you being built, meaning that, are you so connected with the lives of people around you that if you aren't present, something's missing? If this brick shakes, the whole building shakes. If this brick is gone, it gets weakened. Now, I want to be careful there because I don't want to say that the church is dependent on me, that if I don't show up, the church doesn't go on, because that's not true. I'm not the cornerstone. But here's the picture of this, is that in order for God to inhabit it, it has to be a group of people, community coming together and being built together. So you might come to church, hear the sermon, go to class, but that's not what the picture is here. The picture is that you are coming to be built together in a wall, interdependence, so that we share money, we share struggles, we share life, we share things together that is being built. Now, this brick here is also being built on something else. As I was thinking about this week, it's really cool to think back in the past of all the people lives that have built into me as a person. I wouldn't be here today, I don't think, if it wasn't for those people. There were people who said, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be part of this crazy building, these living stones, and I'm going to speak into your life. So I had teachers, I had coaches, I had friends, I had counselors, I have mentors, I have people who said, I care enough about you to be a stone supporting you. And you might say, why is that? Why is it that we need people around us? Why is it that we need to be connected? Well, C.S. Lewis was talking about one of his friends who died, Charles, and there was a group of them, there was three of them, they were really close, and he said this about his friends when Charles died. In each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all of his facets. Now that Charles is dead, I shall never see again Ronald's reaction to a specifically Charles joke. Far from having more of Ronald, having him to myself, now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald. So what he's saying is that there was something that Charles brought out of Ronald that he couldn't bring out of Ronald. And when I think about this, when I'm around Jason Metzger, I'm a different person. Jason Metzger brings something totally different out of me than my friend Josh Flowers. Something different that Zach